Welcome to the Business Abundance Podcast, providing the tools and knowledge to help small business owners succeed. For additional resources, visit www.businessabundance.online.
Hello, welcome back to the Business Abundance Podcast. I am Z and I'm here with Rowan.
Hello.
Ian is out of office. And so it's just Rowan and I today chatting.
Short notice cancellation.
We are having a conversation without him, but that's okay. He'll be back in later episodes. Today we're going to be chatting about starting with your why. So a lot of businesses focus on what they do, which is important. So that's your services, your products, pricing, or how you do it more efficiently. But today we're going to be talking about something to do with your why, and that's inspired by Simon Sinek's Start With Why. It's a pretty simple concept, but we're going to unpack that because it's not necessarily easy to apply. And I think that's because it doesn't necessarily, like, you don't sell a product. You sell a product and you get money for it. Your why doesn't necessarily bring that in immediately. So we're going to unpack what it means and lead with your purpose and not just your offer, and why that also matters to both your customers and your team. Rowan, do you want to start with the golden circle?
No.
So it's this circle. It starts with what?
I want to go somewhere else first.
All right, go for it.
To add to chaos, but we obviously talk to a lot of people about this, and most people that we've talked to in the past, it's like, well, why do you do what you do? That it's going to go, we want money. It's making money. Or why do you do what you do? Why is that different to anyone else? We're like, oh, we kind of do the same thing as everyone else. We're electricians, or we sell chairs, or there's never too much thought past that. So I think if you're listening to this episode and you're like, oh, well, here to make money, or here to do this or whatever, just probably you need a better reason. You need a niche for your business to operate in, so it's not suffering from competition. You get better prices, you get better profit, you get better team members. You know, if you can't find anyone, it's generally because you're the same as everyone else. You've got no difference.
Yeah, if you're selling chairs to make money, someone else is selling chairs to make money too. So
yeah, so we'll just go work with the one that I make the most money at.
Yeah.
And so some of the why is for our customers, but it's also for our team, because people will work for you because they believe in what you do. And we do, as a business, we need to have a purpose to exist. So just wanted to mention that.
Yeah,
fair enough. Everyone's just going, we're here to make money. What are you talking about?
yeah, that's true.
That's a byproduct.
Yeah. I can understand it, because when you say people buy why you do it, not what you do, it is hard, because if someone's looking for chairs, let's just run with the chair example, they're going to look for a chair that they like the most. And
yes.
But I guess then you can take into consideration the quality. If someone's, they always sell the best quality, but then you can also get stuck in, we sell the best quality, we can sell the best customer service, so are other people.
Their sales, everyone else.
Yeah. What's your customer service mean in comparison to theirs? Does it mean you answer the phone faster? Because that's a race to the bottom.
We're talking about why do we do what we do, and straight away we're talking about how we do.
Yeah, exactly. What we do, you know? Get stuck.
And that's the thing. So it's easy to go back to, well, we just sell chairs.
Yeah.
And then people, what do they want? Well, they just want to buy a chair. 100% true. They do just want to buy a chair.
Yep.
But if they have decided the chair they want, they know exactly what they're after, and they just need someone to sell them a chair, you're probably not much more of, not really a business. You're not providing any value aside from the chair. So at that point, you're just taking orders, aren't you?
Yep.
So you're an order taker. So you might as well be a supermarket and just let them check themselves out. It could be convenient for them. Or, you know, if in a service firm, or if you're on the tools, for example, if people are paying you just put roof sheets up, you're a subcontractor. You're not a business. You're just taking orders from people and doing a job. So you don't have a unique difference. They can replace you with someone else. But part of the why is, if we have a purpose above that, we're trying to do something, then we've got a business we can charge people, and we're fulfilling a purpose or a role in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you need to get a bit more scientific about it.
Yeah. So this golden circle, there's three layers to it. It's like an onion. The outside layer is the what, because everyone knows what they do. They are the products or services that you sell. And then you go into the middle, which is the second layer. That's how you do it. So some know how you can do it. That's the part, I guess, that makes you a little bit special, or set you apart. And then in the middle, you've got the why. And I would probably argue very few businesses know why they do it.
Very few.
It's not about making the money. That's the result. It's the purpose of you and your business. So the belief that you have and the very reason that you exist as a business. An example.
Nice.
Beja, I think that's how you say.
Spell it out so we can check you.
B-E-J-A.
Cool.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
This is a French sneaker company, and the reason I found it was interesting, I was listening to a podcast episode about it, and it was talking about how a lot of people use sustainability now as a marketing ploy. It's just a bit of a buzzword.
People love sustainable businesses.
Yeah.
Yep.
Everything on the package says this is sustainable, whether it be socks or even just the packaging itself. But this model focuses on sourcing its natural rubber from the Amazon rainforest, and their focus is protecting the Amazon rainforest. And I think they also mentioned that they wanted to employ the people that they thought was unemployable. And so what they do is they actually partner with the local communities in the Amazon rainforest, and they're the ones who are sourcing the rubber for them. This rubber is sourced from rubber trees, which I didn't actually know existed, but I also didn't realize like how rubber came to be. So that was a fun learning curve. I was like, oh, you tap it from trees. That's random. But also then, yeah, I don't even know how you made it. But that was a fun little learning curve. Anyway, they tap it from this tree, and they were saying that when you consider keeping the trees upright as opposed to flattening it, because the alternative is cow farming, they would prefer to keep the trees upright. And so they employ the local communities for the same amount, if not more, to be sourcing this for them. So that's their sustainability, and everything that they do focuses on that. And so I would argue that's probably sustainability, not the buzzword.
Yeah, so they're the same as the rainforest.
Mm-hmm. That's their why. So when you look at your purpose, how would you apply that to a small business in a small community?
To not answer that question and talk about something else.
Go for it.
I'm good at doing it. It's interesting you're talking about the sustainability is the buzzword and all these that's sustainable this and with this. And the reason they're doing it is you can just put it on a label, mm-hmm. and then people are more likely to buy it or more likely to pay more for it.
It's like the eggs. I remember us talking about eggs in a previous podcast.
Yeah. So this is nicer to the chicken. So we're going to buy this one, or it's a Tassie Devil or whatever it was. Yeah, 100% was. And that's a really easy to understand example of why you should know the purpose of the business and why you should communicate that. Because even if you don't have anything to support it, just saying it, you can see examples of people getting behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And that can work two ways. And there's we probably talked about it before, but the you buy canned tuna.
I haven't heard this one.
Some say, I can't remember how you say it before. I don't know how to say it.
Go on, spell it.
It's persine, or it's sort of in French, court, and it says dolphin friendly.
Oh, random.
And one of my fun things to do is when I see someone eating tuna, just check the can and just tell them they're killing dolphins. Yeah. It's not very nice. I know. It's really mean. But obviously dolphins and whales and turtles and things get caught in the giant nets. And
yeah.
There's other things that they catch them with. So there's more friendly ways than others. But so you look up, so saying it's dolphin-friendly tuna, massive on the can, and it says Persine Court. However you say that. Sorry, I should learn how to say that.
Is that the tuna brand?
No, that's the way it's caught, the method. Oh. So no fish aggregating devices and Persine Court. And the safest method is pole and line. Okay, so you know, is that French for pole and line? Is that French for – it's French for a net, pretty much. So it's the same. We're not using fish aggregating devices, and it's just a nice way of saying something people don't like because no one's going to look it up. But it says dolphin friendly on the top, and it's more – it's friendlier. Yeah, definitely. So it's one of the better ways to do it. But then there's some cans that are more expensive that say pole and line caught that are also dolphin friendly, but you can't catch dolphin on a pole and a hook.
Mm.
The dolphins know the difference between dead bait and live bait, and they won't go for dead stuff.
They're so smart, aren't they?
And you're not catching turtles, you're not catching whales with pole and line, and you see the videos of
a
bunch of people on the side of a boat just going whoop, whoop, whoop with their poles, flicking giant tuna over their backs and chucking the line straight back in.
That easy.
Well, no, you look it up.
I've never done it.
Yeah, so, it's an interesting one. Just having that label obviously sells a whole lot.
Yeah, the dolphin friendly because of the emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. And then I'll go the other way and say you're killing the dolphins because you're not using the pole and line court. But most people won't look that far in it.
Yeah.
They can be covered and bossed over.
Yeah.
But, you know, the best businesses have something that's meaningful that people get behind, and if anyone checks, they go, oh, yeah, that checks out, and they tell everyone, and then everyone else believes it even more.
Yeah.
And then you're in your own little spot that's very hard to compete with.
Yep.
Very hard for someone to take off you. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, what was the question?
That's a good question. Let's talk about why this matters.
We already talked about why it matters.
Well, yes, because customers are emotionally driven, and they're obviously going to connect to the brands that share their beliefs. And I guess that comes back to the dolphin. Like if you've particularly fond of dolphins, the thing I probably caught more onto was the turtles, obsessed with turtles. And so if someone said this is killing turtles,
you're probably going to look up. You
run the other way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What should we be doing to figure it out? Was that the question?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So I think looking at what your business does or what your business can contribute and figure out what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So I know something we've said here in the past, and I say potential clients. So we've got people that are experienced. We've got people that are new. But we also have clients that are experienced and clients that are new. So we try to mix people up along the way. So, you know, if you don't need the Rolls Royce when you're just starting out, but you need good and you need to be quality, but we're trying to partner with people. We want a good place for our team to work and have a good career and learn lots. And we want our clients to have a good business, learn lots, and be successful. And I don't think anyone's ever gone to me, oh, gee, that's no good. But
good feedback if they do.
I say, well, that sounds nice, Rowan, but what's that sort of countering, I guess? And especially in this professional space, we want the best. I want to deal with the best.
Yeah.
You know? So you have some excellent professionals that deal with a lot of people they shouldn't be dealing with. They're well outside of them. They might be paying more than they need to just to deal with them. It might be they're not getting paid enough to do that work.
Yeah.
But they come in and say, like, what are you going to do with me? What are you going to do for me? Like, why are you the best? Well, it's not about that. It's about the result. And this is what we're about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you like that or not? And most people go, yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. That's great. Cool. Yeah. And then it's not about what we're doing or how we're doing it. Well, obviously, you've got to have that taken care of as well, but that's not the discussion. The discussion is, that's fantastic. Yeah, we want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So how do you figure out yours? It's going, well, what do we like and what do we dislike? What are we, you know, passionate about? So if you're an electrician, are you passionate about green energy? Are you passionate about cool lighting? You know, because you can do some cool lighting stuff these days. Are you passionate about comfort? If you're selling chairs, well, that sounds pretty boring. I was like, I don't want to do examples for chairs. That seems really hard.
Make them sound cool.
But it could be we're passionate about comfort. And then you go, well, what does that mean? Okay, well, most people have whatever couch that looks nice, but they have back issues or mobility issues. Don't know. You get down that path.
Mm-hmm.
So we're about having, you know, the comfiest.
Yeah.
Our business is about we want you to be as comfortable as you can be.
Yep.
And how do we do that? We have a range that suits lots of different people's lots of different conditions, but we help you find that.
Yeah.
Not just which one looks cool and what colour.
Yeah. So I guess you can figure that out. Ideally, you'd figure it out before you started your business, wouldn't you? Or would you think people would come into it knowing that sort of in the back of their mind?
Maybe. A lot of people go into business for freedom, for money, you know.
More time with family, yeah.
Yeah, to get the opposite.
Yep. Yep. But what I'm trying to play devil's advocate, or just sort of one of the pushbacks is, well, that means then I have to change my business model because that's a nice idea and I want to do that, but I then have to change X, Y, and Z, which is a lot of time and effort, and I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
So what would you say in response to that?
Well, if you don't have time for any of that, then you're basically competing with everyone, just providing the service at the bottom dollar. You're just that contractor to, yeah, we need you to do this. There's nothing else. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you don't have a bigger purpose like saving the Amazon, it could be that we donate to local sporting clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's, you can get behind that.
Yep.
If you like sport, if you don't.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be we're changing the world, but it can be changing a community, or we commit, you know, we have an employee program. We want to be a great employer because people have families and we want them to have a good job.
Yep.
You know, a wide range of things, but you ideally can have it before it starts, because there's no point having a business that no one wants to deal with or there's not a need for.
Mm-hmm.
But if you've already started and you don't have it, then it's just look at what's important to you or what's important to your team, and then how can you integrate that into your business.
Yeah.
I think a great example with the shoe company you just mentioned. Yeah, want to save the rainforest. We could be a shoe company because there's rubber in the rainforest. I don't know how they came to it. There's rubber trees there.
Mm.
Well, instead of chopping everything down and putting cows there, which doesn't make that much money, we could use rubber that's already there. It makes more money. Everyone's better off, and we can sell shoes.
Yep.
Fantastic. Rather than just looking from the other side of the world going, oh, gee, I wish I'd save that, but do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there's two ends of the spectrum there. Change your local community or change something far away.
Yep. Yeah, so I guess the higher purpose definitely isn't just some buzzwords that you chuck on the wall in the office and hope everyone looks at it as they walk past, but it is worth putting it together in sentence, paragraph, something that you can reflect on and make sure that every decision you make aligns with that, because it's a good, oh, when they say that you create a business plan and they want you to make the mission and vision.
Mm.
I think we've said before in a previous podcast, they seem one of the same things.
Yeah, it's hard to tell the difference.
Yeah. And
but technically different, but really.
Yeah. Yeah. So you put this higher purpose together, and it is a good guide. It's a good compass to direct your business in a particular way. So if you're looking at employing employees and you've got a higher purpose that focuses on the Amazon rainforest, for example, and your employee has no interest or opposes that, then they're probably not worth employing. So it runs from any part of your business, from employees to the suppliers. Yeah.
And the employee probably won't think you're worth working for either.
Yeah, exactly.
But just with the high purpose, we jumped into to the high purpose. We didn't explain what it was, but I guess it's
yes,
like a mission or vision, but we prefer the high purpose term because it's like, what can your business do even if it's not selling shares? So we sell shares, but we help business owners. So in 50 years time, maybe there's no accounts, there's no this, there's no whatever. We can still help business owners, right? Because there's still going to be business owners.
Yeah.
Obviously the running company can be along the lines of saving the rainforest or saving the environment, for example. So don't have to sell shoes to do that. You can do it other ways, but that's the purpose. So yeah, it's giving a guide for another reason why you should have it. And when people go, oh, I don't know how to do it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's your team. So if we can't go and find good staff, that's because they're working somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why are they working somewhere else? Probably because they believe in it more.
Yeah.
Sports, always a good thing to relate to, because a lot of people understand it. Some people don't, but
Nike.
Yeah. But a team that has a common purpose is probably going to be more successful.
Yeah.
Common goal, right? It's going to be more successful. Yeah. If a team believes that they can get up to the next division, that's our, you know, that's what we're going to try to chase. We're going to do the next division because it's going to be huge in the community. Like, it's going to be fun. Like, we're going to get there. Everyone's going to try and get behind it.
Everyone loves the underdog. There's that one too. Yeah.
Yeah. If it's literally a club, we rock up, we train, we play. Like, that's what we do. We're just a football club. Like, why would you be there instead of somewhere else?
Yep.
So you get a lot of people that will go there because they don't want to have to do all the extra effort. They don't want to train hard. They don't. So you get all that, and they're like, oh, we can't get those good people. It's not going to happen. Mm. They're not out there. That's what they'll be thinking.
Yep.
But then that's because all the other people don't want to go there.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're not going to go tell you that, are they?
No. But it would be, even if they don't realise it themselves, it'll be a subconscious decision
yep.
that they make. Yeah, I actually had an experience with that over the weekend. Our football club celebrated their 100 years and in the room sold out tickets, and there was people from all walks of life, and there was very much a common theme of why people were there supporting for such a long time. I mean, one person was on the committee for over 40 years, I think, and there's a reason that they stick around
yeah.
and that's that in this case. Common theme, in my understanding, is the people, yeah. which being a part of that football club is very
there's a large obvious. Community to be
yeah, so. Huge community. Yeah. And yeah, it's a bit people want to stay around, and
yeah.
that's what builds it. And so you could compare that to maybe a different football club that, yeah, people yeah. turn up and just want to play football.
I argue most clubs would be like that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the thing. The people there would have that connection to the community or the club. They have that purpose. Together we're achieving something. Or if mm-hmm. I don't do it, no one else will do it, but we need to do it.
Yeah.
And we sort of lose that in business because it's about the business owner making money.
Yeah.
So what's that mean to anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. So then why would they stick around?
Yeah.
No reason. So we're just trying to capture that.
Yeah. Yeah, so when you put this higher purpose together, it you need to focus on not the business that you feel people want to have. It needs to be your – so, for example, you can't – don't be swayed by what people feel the need is, if that makes sense. So I'm not going to shape my higher purpose around what I think you think I should be doing.
Hmm. You got to be, you got to agree with it, I guess.
Well, but then wouldn't you make your business model?
You want to make it around it's customers.
It's a great idea.
You want to make it around your customers too, though.
It would, but if you're not living it out.
Yeah. You've got to believe in it.
There's, yeah, yeah, there's got to be some sort of integrity behind it.
It's no
yeah.
point having a business that you don't want to
yeah.
know, be involved with. So I think it's yep. finding a purpose that people believe in, that you also believe in.
Yeah.
You know, you can make some change with that.
Yeah.
Whereas if you, it doesn't matter how well you love it. If no one else loves it, there's no business, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what you're saying is you want it to be authentic, so it needs to be backed by you actually believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then your team, like team members will believe it.
Yeah. So Sinek's take, Sinek?
Oh, we should learn how to say things.
Hmm. Not our day for
some,
it.
Some internal feedback there.
That's okay.
For each other.
His takeaway.
Simon Sinek, I believe.
Yes. The goal is not to do business with people who need what you have. The goal is to do business with people who believe what you believe.
Yeah.
Which I think sums it up
yeah.
perfectly from the man himself.
I had a client. We have a client and a friend. The friend came around and they're looking at the solar pergola, which I think it's been on another podcast, but there's a solar pergola. It's a pergola in the backyard. It's got solar panels on the top. It just makes more sense than having a pergola without solar in a solar system. Solar pergola, won an award. And he's looking at it. He's asked me questions about it and he's really interested. And he's an electrician. And he goes, oh, who did it? I told him the company. And he goes, oh, yeah, I was looking at them. I've heard they really believe in this renewable energy stuff and this other company doesn't look after their stuff. That's the short story. And I didn't say anything because I don't want to be biased or influenced. And I like to hear what people say unfiltered. But that's a great example of it, that they – believe in that.
Mm. That's so, the first thing they mention. Yeah, not, oh, yeah, they sell lights.
Yeah. He's gone, oh, yeah, I'm going to deal with it because I've heard this. You know, mm-hmm. I think they really believe that. So I'm going to go down that path. There's nothing to do with I'm going to price check them or it's got to be reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, 100%. So pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good, good practice, I guess, if things are feeling a little bit chaotic or you're not really sure of the direction, sit down and think about the way that you want the business ahead and what you believe
it's going to have.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, if you can look at that from that way, what impact is the business having on the world as a whole? If you can get that right, the rest will follow pretty well. You'll find team members that believe and they're happy to help and put in an extra effort. You'll find customers that, you know, we're happy to pay and we actually appreciate what you do. And if you're in a position where you're like, oh, that's too far a jump, like, oh, we're not making money and no one wants to work for us and it's all horrible, well, you definitely can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So you already know that's not working, so that's probably more reason to change.
Yeah.
Simon also talks about the law of diffusion and innovation.
Tell more.
In his talk. So basically we've got, you know, there's a bit of a bell curve on a graph that mm-hmm. you've got the early majority and the late majority when we're talking about customers and people adopting new technology. So the further along the curve are the people that don't change unless they have to. So, you know, my auntie back in the day, I bought her a mobile phone for Christmas and she cried and got really upset because she didn't want one. But everyone had one. She's still using the landline, like it's not even a thing then. So she was on the laggards, then she still had, I can't remember what they're called, but the washing machine is just open top and just goes swish, 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 and then it's got a roller out the side you put the clothes through and ring them out. It doesn't even spin, you know.
Yeah, right.
She's still washing with that, just getting parts made for it.
To this day?
Pretty sure. Yeah.
Impressive.
It was 5 years ago.
Commitment.
2 years ago, actually, yeah. So gets parts made for it because they don't make the parts anymore.
Yep.
Anyway, but on the other end of the bell curve, before the early majority, you've got the innovators and early adopters. So they're the people that want to try the newest gadgets. That's cool. We just want to show off or we want to try. We want to be first. Lots of different reasons, but there's a very small percentage. It's like 0.5 and it's followed by a 2.5%. Very small number of people, but they're not buying the product. The chair, same as everyone else, they're buying the latest TV. He talks about the flat screen TV in his talk, but okay, the latest drone or the newest phone or the whatever feature you want. So they buy into why you do something and where we're going to go, what we believe in, and then a lot of the mainstream then follow. So you need, I know a friend who has that. Like if it's the newest, latest thing, they'll be like, oh, I don't know what that is. I don't trust it. I don't believe it. I'll let someone else. Yeah, it might go away. It might not be a thing. But then once you start to see people pick stuff up, then, oh, my friend has that. Everyone's got that. And then this large chunk of people follows through. So it's another reason he talks about why you need to sort of understand your why. You need to have those people that are going to lead the way and be a customer with you and try that new service and give you a whirl and they'll promote you to everyone else. But it's the general thing is we're not marketing to everyone. We're marketing to those who will believe on what we believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. In his explanation or in his book, because he does have an entire book. So if you're interested, go have a read.
He did pretty well out of his TED talk.
Yeah. Out of his TED talk, he does also talk about, I guess, the biology behind it with the limbic brain and everything like that. But
talks about the Wright brothers and flying.
Yes.
You might as well have a listen to it.
Yes.
He says this whole thing is a lot better than we have.
Yeah. He's very talented. So I guess there's more information that can come with all of this. And if you want to know the science behind it, we can write that out in one of our knowledge posts on the website. This is very important to help direct your business and I guess ensure or give you the best chance of longevity. So have a read. We'll add some more information in the notes and also have some more information on our website. But we'll be talking to you soon.